Hello, it's Matt Hookins from Camelot Films with Chris Gordon on Hellblazer Biz.
Everyone, hi. I've got the honour and the privilege of the company of Matt Hookins, a return guest for me today. About 5 years, I think it was, since we've last spoken, but obviously you're here to promote your new film, Prize Fighter, which is about the story of Jem Belcher, a boxer from the 1800s, I believe.
Yeah.
Or he's born in the 1800s, wasn't he?
born in late 1700s, actually.
Wow, okay.
late 1700s. Followed over to the early 1800s. Thanks for having me back, Chris. It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while, but you know, things keep moving forward. So
they do. Yeah, as you say, I mean, you've been really busy since we've last spoken as well. Like you say, what, six features you've done in that time?
I've done five features in five years.
Five features. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's really pretty impressive.
It's been nonstop. I said it's like I haven't stopped at all since we last spoke. So.
I wish I could say the same. I think when I spoke last year, 5 years ago, my mission was in 5 years, I was knock James Corden off his top spot. And unfortunately, that's still not happened. I'm still trying. Maybe one day. He did turn me down two or three years ago when he was doing Peter Rabbit. I wrote to his publicist and I was just like, no. And I said, you've missed a chance. You could have had Corden and Gordon.
it's a good
yeah. Fine. But yeah, as I say, I mean, you know, five features in 5 years is fantastic. And obviously now we're on to the nice big one as well, nice meaty one. It's got a fascinating story. I mean, I've read the information and the background for it. And it's really intriguing. Prize Fighter. And this is obviously, I mean, this is interesting how you came about the story as well. Because I mean, it's kind of indirectly because of your dad, wasn't it, that you kind of end up learning about this in a way?
Yeah. It's been a slug. It's the biggest one I've done so far, and played all the whistles in this one. Just wrote it, played the lead, had an involvement in the producing. Yeah, just been crazy. But yeah, it came indirectly through my dad, who was a British heavyweight champion boxer in the 1980s. And I met someone on set who thought I looked like the spitting image of my dad, which I do. And he's sadly not here with us. He passed away. So the story of my dad through this guy that he was reading a bit about him during this trade magazine, to the left on the story of my dad was this slide about Jem Belcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got drawn in immediately because, you know, he was the youngest ever champion at 19. He was blind at 22 and he was dead by the time he was 30. He had this kind of whirlwind of a journey.
Yeah.
Across a very short time frame. So I was immediately hooked, and he had this kind of Muhammad Ali reminiscence where he, you know, spoke, dressed, you know, acted way ahead of his time. He was just a pioneer of the sport and, you know, used his brain, his technique and the agility to you know, beat fighters rather than brute strength at the time. So, yeah, hooked from the get-go.
Excellent, excellent. I mean, it does sound really sort of a very charismatic type person. Especially, say, for that period of time as well, because it's you don't hear much about, especially like boxing sports from that early for big names and stuff. So, and like you say, whirlwind. I mean, that's blind at 21 and then obviously passed away at the age of 30. It's not a very long life, but it seems he's had a very accomplished life, obviously, in that sphere of time anyway, as a boxer.
Yeah, definitely rags to riches. Definitely a rags to riches story. And just fascinated with him. I mean, no one knew anything about him. You know, he wasn't very well known in the boxing world. He wasn't very well known anywhere. He was well known at the time. He was relatively famous at the time, but now, you know, people just don't know anything about him. So I'm kind of rebirthing a sort of, you know, unforgotten hero as well, which is nice to kind of, you know, give him his his moment in time.
Definitely. I mean, a kind of follow on an expansion of that is, why is it an important story to tell for you? Why do you feel this is so an important thing to tell people? And obviously bring his character. So,
I mean, there was a strong connection with myself and my own kind of inner spiritual, okay, I have to do this now. you know, partly because we had so many connections. It was crazy how many, you know, connections that started forming between myself and Jem. Mm-hmm. I never actually started writing it in mind to put, you know, with myself to play the lead role, but just these things started happening. He died on my birthday, which is the 5th of July. Mm-hmm. He's got the same mum. My mum's name is Mary. His mum's name is Mary. And you know, the fight at the end of the film with Henry Pierce is the same name as my dad's name, who was from Bristol. So, and he was the same height, same weight, size as me. So there was an immediate connection and something that drew me in that I just felt like I kind of had to, you know, had to do this, had to write the story and play the part. I think, you know, there's also a nice sense of, you know, telling a true historic boxing story there's never been a boxing film set this far back ever. That was a kind of nice encouragement to maybe do something different and create something that had, you know, an original feel about it. It wasn't just something that was a, you know, oh, we've heard or seen this story before. So there was that, you know, that pull and attraction as well. And I think there's a really strong connection between boxing and the creative sort of world, if you want to call it, actors, writers, musicians. And I don't know, there was a really nice parallel between bringing the two together. So it was those kind of urges that directed me and put me in the direction to want to make this. And also, you know, finding out that Jem, there was no books written on him. There was nothing really available. You know, diehard boxing fans didn't know anything about him. So I thought, wow, this story needs to be told, because kind of need to do it for Jem as well, because, you know, he's disappeared essentially in history without anyone knowing about him. So, and obviously I had to pick the stupidest, most challenging way to do it in the form of a period drama, a boxing film, very, you know, male orientated, focused. I didn't have certain things behind me that gave me a slight advantage. But I suppose that kind of adds to the journey of wanting to make it. It's like, well, okay, just because it's, you know, male orientated sports, boxing focused, doesn't mean we shouldn't. Mm. Story is good. A story should be told, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I kind of read it. It's very much like the a similar path as well, because obviously you're the lead in the character, you know, in the film as well, and it's kind of very similar sort of way that Rocky came about with Stallone, the fact that you've battled to get, you know, to get this through and to push yourself, and you've worked so hard to get to the point where you're actually bringing this. And it is, I mean, listening to the inspiration about how you've done it as well. I mean, that must have taken a lot of research, in fairness. If there's no books about him and everything, that must have been quite difficult.
I mean, I spent two years just researching and reading books. I spent probably close to a year and a half. I watched 150 boxing films from 1927, Hitchcock's first one, all the way up to modern day. So I really delved into the history. And you're right. I suppose that's another reason to want to make the film. It's got a Rocky, very Rocky, you know, Sylvester Stallone-esque type story where, you know, there's been a lot of challenges and a lot of things to overcome. And I think, you know, a big focus of what I'm doing now and what I'm talking about is the inspiration behind making it, you know, the never give up attitude, work. And people think it's easy. I think people assume, because, you know, I'm a male who's white, who can just, oh yeah, there's loads of roles and there's loads of things available. God, it's not, it's just as tough.
Yeah.
Everyone's just as tough. And you know, that definitely didn't play in my favor. So I think, you know, the actual commitment and the sort of never give up attitude is part of the story to make it and the reason behind it. And that's becoming, or, you know, certainly becoming a big topic and what people are asking me about. So it's, you know, the interest is there.
Oh yeah, definitely. It means that the film's got more passion in it. So when people watch it, and if you know the backstory to it and how much you've got in there and you've moved into there, from your own personal side, you can actually connect with yourself as the filmmaker and obviously the actors, knowing that what we see on screen and the research, that, you know, how much effort has you really, really got into making sure that there's the story is told correctly and the story is told in a really good way as well.
Yeah, and that definitely got the heart in it. I mean, people that have seen the film have said the same thing. They just said, you know, we can feel and, you know, smell and, you know, touch the heart and the sort of passion within the story. So I'm glad that that's kind of bleeding out through.
And I create the research in all the old films as well. And from the box, I mean, boxing styles must have changed so much. I mean, they have changed since the 20s to now. Yeah. Not, I mean, you know, the way they, you know, like you say, the way they fight. So obviously, if you say Jem had that sort of more modern approach to the way he boxed as well, yeah. And he was like the head of his time. Because obviously there's no films from the 1700s so much, but yeah, so it's great to sort of get that experience and get that wide range of different styles to obviously then incorporate and, you know, and make it your own as well. And
yeah, I mean, people have said to me I'm crazy for watching all these films, and I ended up becoming a boxer as well. I trained as a boxer. And I had to watch all the films. I had to find something. I had to step away and find something that hadn't been done before. I had to kind of, because everyone in a lot of the boxing films I saw, especially in the good ones, they're all doing it for someone or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Rocky doing it for Adrian.
Yeah.
They're doing it for their daughter or their cat or whoever. And what I stepped away from Jem's story is that there was a lot of inner passion, demons. It was a lot of it was inner, and it was rooted in him. Yeah. That he picked up from his own generation, his grandfather, who, you know, who's played by Russell Crowe, which is an amazing thing. And it was, I wanted to create something that had a kind of, you know, inner reach and an inner kind of connection, so people could go, ah, okay, he's dealing with his own personality here, his own demons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, watching all those films, there's not been a boxing film set this far back. So that gave us a little bit of a, okay, that's original. Mm-hmm. There's never been one that told the story about how boxing began and its journey. You just mentioned the difference in styles.
Yeah.
We were, you know, this film gave us, and Jem's story gave me the opportunity to kind of be a little bit creative, and also so the film starts in a field and it's bare knuckle and it's you know, it's bloody and it's,
yeah,
and it's ready, and by the end of the film we're in a boxing ring with his gloves and there's more rules in play, so it allowed us to kind of tell that journey. So anyone that's interested, I mean, you don't even have to be interested in boxing, you can just be interested in, oh, how did boxing start, which opens a different demographic and a different audience. So that was one of the things that really, you know, became clear on, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it. And also, you know, just having that aspect of being able to create something where you're telling the beginnings or the, you know, the origins of it, I think is a nice pull.
Fantastic. It does sound really interesting. I mean, you mentioned obviously who's playing the grandfather. I mean, you've got a heavyweight, you're leading a heavyweight cast, pun not intended. You know, and you've got some great stellar people supporting you in there. I'll say, you know, because you obviously are the leaders, Jem. So you've got like Russell Crowe, you've got Ray Winston, you've got, you know, Julian Glover, Jodie May. You've got such a stellar cast. How hard was it to get those involved as well? Because, I mean, I think that's, you bring those people like that on board as well. And it must be so immense to work with people, you know, like Russell and Ray as well.
Yeah. I think, we got Martin Kosak, who's amazing. We got Stephen Burkoff. We got, we got loads of real life fighters as well. Julius Martin, who fought Mike Tyson, Joe Egan, Michael McCall. Again, going back to the never give up attitude, it was a dream. I had a dream list of people and just didn't stop until they all said yes. I mean, some people were easier than others because some were friends. I'd already done a film with Julian before, Julian Glover, who's a very, very, very dear friend. Love him to bits. So, you know, he was immediate, yes. Pulled in some favors of friends and people that I knew. And then, you know, slowly climbed up the ladder. Jodie was incredible as my mother and a really, really amazing, amazing woman to work with. And just Martin Kosak just blew everyone away. He just walked onto a scene and just lit it up. He was incredible. And then, you know, having someone like Ray play the trainer who just perfect for the role, you know, trying to get, you know, a sort of rowdy East London trainer.
You couldn't pick better type casting than Ray Winston.
Yeah, Ray was almost too good. We almost didn't look at him because he said, he's too good. And he's too obvious.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said yes, and he knew who my dad was as well. He actually knew my dad's friend. So there was like a little connection there. And then, you know, the grandfather role was so, such a nice textured role to play. It's still one of my favorite characters. And, you know, being able to get Russell was just a, you know, just the icing on the cake. I mean, all the cast was so, so good. And not just so good, but so fitting for the role. You see some cast members and you see them play specific roles and you kind of get, okay, they've just done that for the money or they've done that because, you know, it's typecast or whatever. These actors and actresses playing these roles are just, you know, they're just perfect. And, you know, my sister, Lucy Martin plays my sister as well. So she's incredible. Just incredible cast, but just didn't stop until they all said yes. A couple of them said no a couple of times. And just kept going back, you know.
Persistence.
Passion and persistence, changing the goalposts, making something work for them that wasn't working before, you know, just never giving up. So I feel very lucky in that. And they're all really great, which is you know, a nice bonus.
Fantastic. I think Mike McKell's been on my show as well with his daughter, about another film we did as well, which is it. So yeah. And I say he's a great, he's another, yes. So I was like, that's right. The entire, when I was reading down the list of the cast, I was just like, wow.
Yeah, you just keep going on the IMDb and you'll be like, wow, okay. And each one has a little history. You know, Joe Egan, Julius Francis fought Mike Tyson in 2000. Yeah. Joe Egan was Mike Tyson's sparring partner. You know, Michael McKell's done a ton of stuff, very close friend, Michael, very loyal and at the beginning. So it's just feel very, very, you know, very fortunate. We've got Nolene Kaminsky in it as well, who's a very dear friend. So yeah, so it's a mixture between a lot of friends and people that, you know, that we just really wanted and perfect for the role.
Fantastic. I mean, you said you became a boxer for 4 years as well. I mean, that's called method acting, you know?
It is, yeah. It was a bit extreme because I was coming home training and getting back and bruised ribs and broken nose, all this kind of stuff. And people just thought I was mental. They're just like, why are you training for this film, which you don't even know it's happening. You don't know if you're going to play the lead. So I had to rely on doing a lot of stuff on my own. I hope it gets easier because, you know, when you're doing your own training, and your own diet, and your own, you know, you've got to manage yourself while, you know, doing a million other things. It's trickier. I can't wait for the films to come calling, which say, oh, we've got a personal trainer for you, or you don't need to worry about your diet.
Yeah.
So how long?
No, I know what it's like. I mean, about 10 years ago when I was 36, I started pro wrestling because I thought I'd just try and get a bit fitter. So actually, you know, probably like the American wrestling. And I actually got fit enough. I could jump the top rope in one leap and I was doing somersaults in the mid ring, you know, and I was at my age, I was like, the others were all like 17, 18, if that. So I was like, I was doing, you know, springing off, you know, really, really good stuff until I fell out of the ring one day. I fell head first, the ropes were loose. I fell through the ropes, smashed my leg up and ended up losing me one of my quad muscles. It retracted in on itself, and that's what my career. Yeah, it is the effort, like you say, the diet and the effort. So, I mean, that was just for me, personal side of things, for a personal gain. So to do that for a film is very, very dedicated to get that in. But again, it's something you keep with you. You know, it's a skill then you've picked up and you can learn and you can take that and keep that.
Yeah, you know what? It was the only thing that kept me alive and sane as well. You know, being having a stressful day at a computer and then being able to go and box was just
yeah.
a huge sense of relief and release. So it was, yeah, it was great. It saved me in many ways, and I love the sport for it.
Fantastic. I mean, I've seen the pictures as well of you and your dad. You mentioned before how much you look like him, and you've got on the publicity thing, Sam. You've got the one of your dad, I think, in 1982, was it?
Yeah.
And then you've got obviously you, and I couldn't tell the difference, to be fair. Yeah. I was just like, whoa, that is actually really scarily scary the same.
It's bonkers how much we look alike. It's crazy.
Excellent. And so, I mean, obviously, moving on to the film, obviously, Prize Fighter, is it released now? Is it? Or is it, when's it?
It comes out July 22nd on Amazon.
Brilliant. Excellent. I'm a Prime member, so I'll be getting that one as well. So, obviously, is that worldwide? Is it? Is it
on Prime? UK and US.
Okay.
There's a bunch of territories sold, rest of the world, which are different.
Here. Yeah. No, that's brilliant. So to be fair, to open, you know, on Amazon on that wider scale as well, is, you know, that's what I love about the new platforms. I mean, I think they've evolved so much in the last few years. So you can make a film like, you know, Prize Fighter, or you can put something on like Amazon or Netflix, or, you know, any of these, the major Netflix streaming sites now. And you've got so much more option, I think, as a filmmaker, to be able to get your product viewed and get it out there. And get that wider audience visible, because I think people are doing that a lot more now, I think, than there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good way. You know, it's one of the distributors said to me in Cannes recently, just said, look, you know, when your film comes out, it's going to be seen by millions of people in that week. It's going to be seen by millions of people. And it's a nice thing. It's not been easy, and it's been tough. And I think it's still hasn't settled with me yet, because I've just been nonstop on the film at all. So it's a really weird feeling to have, but, you know, it's going to be good when it's out.
Excellent, excellent. And like I said, that's July 22nd. We can see that on Amazon then.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. Right. I'm going to sort of wrap this up in a way now, because it's fascinating hearing about this story. I actually love it. I can't wait to see it, to be honest. I like myself a good boxing movie. talking to you now, I love this. Is what I love doing this, because it really, what's the word? Brings the film, so that's more than one word, but it's like it brings the film more to life for me, knowing the story, and then hearing the story behind it, to actually go in there, so when it comes on I can sit down, I'll be able to watch it and go, okay, and I'll, you know, and pinpoint those bits and pieces. So it's
I think fascinating. It makes it it just adds that extra bit of heart, importance, and kind of human, you know, feeling and emotion to it. And, you know, you go back and you compare Rocky, you know, Rocky was a huge success. A big part of Rocky's success was the story behind the making of it. Gave up. So I hope that, you know, people see this and understand what's going on with me. Because, you know, you can watch a film and, you know, if people don't enjoy it or something's missing, they don't realize what it took just to even get that on screen. Let alone make any good. So, and, you know, I'm really proud of this, and there's a lot of real fight sequences, and the acting's great, and the story holds up. So I'm really proud of it. I mean, the fight sequences are, hand on heart, some of the best that you're going to see. They're so real. The end fight is as real as it gets. So can't wait yet.
Well, so if you've got the guy, you've got all the guys who fought Tyson and his sparring partner, and they can't get any more realistic than that.
Yeah. Pretty intense.
Fantastic. Is there anything before I sort of stop the recording for people you want to push out and get them to say to everyone who's watching or listening?
Just follow the journey. I think follow all the social media, because we're releasing quite a few, you know, key elements to the journey, the story, the making of the film. And it's not just about the making of the film. I think we're releasing and talking about and sharing a lot of life experiences and human things that you know, various people have gone through the making of this film, and mainly myself, and how to overcome and, you know, stick with something and you know, keep your passion and drive and dream in life, and you know, kind of proving that if you do that, then you can you can kind of make anything happen, which sounds a bit corny, but it's true. So it'd be great for people to keep up to date with, you know, everything that we're doing on Camelot Films and the social media side. And obviously, you know, watch the film, and hopefully everyone enjoys it. And that's about it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.